Welcome to the Supporting Children Affected by Domestic Abuse podcast. In this series, you'll learn about some of Stockport's domestic abuse partnership projects that are addressing this important issue. We share with you our learnings from a series of intervention and prevention projects from across our borough, including innovative work in hospitals, schools, and training. Through this series, we hope that we can share and inspire similar projects in other local authorities and communities across the UK and beyond. This multi-agency approach is funded by the Home Office to explore how best to support children that may be experiencing domestic abuse. These projects aim to explore different ways to educate children, professionals, and perpetrators in relation to domestic abuse. The ultimate aim was to reduce the impact on children and young people where they were experiencing domestic abuse, either in their own relationships or within their family homes. The episodes were recorded live at the Children Affected by Domestic Abuse Conference, hosted by Stockport Metropolitan Borough Council. In this episode, you'll hear from Stepping Hill Hospital about how they're addressing domestic abuse. Now, they've piloted a dedicated, independent domestic violence advocate to work with staff and patients to remove the stigma and fear about disclosing, asking about, and reporting domestic abuse. You'll hear from Rebecca Oatway, Lily Blundell and Janet Wilcox, who are working across the hospital's departments, such as maternity, neonatal and children's, to help safeguard victims.
Rebecca Oatway, I'm a named midwife for safeguarding at Stepping Hill Hospital and was lucky enough to be gifted the joy of an IDVA to become based in our service, which has been working really well. In terms of our service provision prior to having an IDVA, when we reflected on that, we realised that as a trust we needed to do a lot of work around domestic abuse. We were finding that we weren't doing many referrals to Stockport Without Abuse, we weren't doing many referrals to MARAC, and considering the thousands of people that come through our service every year and what we know in terms of the rates of domestic abuse, they weren't marrying up. And certainly in midwifery as well, our referrals were quite low, and I think some of the data that we've had from Stockport Without Abuse is since we've had the IDVA in our service, those have increased. When we thought about why we weren't doing referrals from the trust, we thought from a lot of our practitioners it was that lack of confidence. We'd not done much training in the hospital regarding domestic abuse, and practitioners didn't know how to ask the questions, nor did they know what to do if they did get a disclosure. Also, a lot of people, and Lily will kind of agree with this, when Lily started and went round the unit and said that she was an IDFA, people didn't know what that meant. And a lot of the time with hospital staff, unless you come in and see those staff, they don't really know what's going on out in the community. So with the establishment of the role, Stockport Without Abuse and I worked together. We looked at the job description, we did the interviews, and that was because obviously we knew that the IDFA was going to be based in midwifery services. One of the reasons that we based Lily in maternity is that obviously we know that pregnancy is a risk factor for domestic abuse, and that's where we needed to do a lot more work. However, what we did realise is that there's lots of areas of the hospital where victims come in, experience domestic abuse, and those practitioners needed that support too. The other area that we prioritised was the emergency department, because obviously that's where victims will come in if they've been assaulted. And the other areas that we've decided to focus on is the neonatal unit, because a lot of the times staff will witness relationships. Having a baby in neonatal is very stressful, and a lot of the time they will identify that. We also have gone out to the acute medical unit, because again, that's where people will go from ED, and that's where sometimes we will get disclosures, and we have recently. In terms of mapping going forward, Lily and I meet quite regularly to evaluate the service, and it would be great to have more kind of areas covered by the IDFA, but poor Lily's one person. And we're a massive organisation. So it's looking at how we can establish that role going forward and hopefully increase the amount of IDFAs that we would have across the service. Lily's done lots of training alongside Janet and I, and she's also really, really helped with writing our policy. Our domestic abuse policy was out of date, and Lily really, really helps coordinate that in terms of making sure that the pathways were in the right place. Obviously, things will vary if people are pregnant, if they've got children, and if they don't. And although Lily's funding is to work with people that have children, she'll absolutely signpost and help staff for those that don't. The other thing that Lily's taken on is the MARAC. Lily will coordinate the kind of the dashes, getting them onto the MARAC list, and will support practitioners to go to MARAC. Historically, we've not had practitioners going to MARAC, so they've completed the dash and they never know what happened afterwards. So we're trying to kind of improve that and help that go forward.
Hello, so I'm Lily, maternity and health advisor at Stepping Hill. I've been in post for a little while, but it's still quite a new service, so we're just still trying to develop it as much as we can. Since I started, we have increased the rates of training throughout the hospital, and that has been proven through CQC, have come through recently. So we have increased the training quite significantly, and that has been facilitated by me, Rebecca and Janet. But I do one-to-one session with practitioners, and I run big sessions as well. So at the moment, we're doing some training with National Centre for Domestic Violence. So they sort out civil injunctions. So we've been doing some one-to-one training with staff with my sort of pathway and about domestic abuse awareness and how to identify it and how to manage these disclosures and how to have these difficult conversations, because we're finding quite quickly that practitioners are not quite sure how to address these questions and how to manage it, because people are making disclosures and staff are just sort of floundering. So we don't want that. We want to give them the confidence to be able to say, we can support you, here is our support service, whether that goes through the safeguarding teams, through the trust, or whether that goes through myself. So when I first came in, we had a baseline survey that Janet did, and it said 100% of staff wanted domestic abuse training to be mandatory, which is really, really positive. So when I came into post, we made it a big push that I'd be running some training as quick as I could. And then recently we've done one with midwives, and 67% said that they really needed some more training, whether that came face-to-face or whether that came as a group or one-to-one. So we're working on that to get our services up and running, to get the training going as quick as we can. We've had some really positive feedback from maternity, especially at the moment, with regards to the support that I can offer. So at the moment we're trying to get more maternity staff out to train and get the compliance up to a good level. One of the things that we've been working on massively is just, so part of the role is to remove the stigma about asking about domestic abuse and removing that fear about asking about it, because it's all really easy for a staff to ask about domestic abuse, but what do they do with that information, especially for a practitioner who isn't comfortable with asking that? It's just about obviously your self-preservation as a staff member and knowing where your support networks are. So having me in the hospital is a really, really positive part of the role, because they know the support is always there, either from myself or the trust safeguarding groups or from Rebecca. So we've really tried to keep as much of the support in-house, so they're not having to make extra phone calls out to people that they don't know who is on the other end of the line. And I think it's a lot easier for people to say, oh, we've had a disclosure, Lily's here in the hospital, rather than just phoning a random number and not knowing who they're going to get to speak to. As Rebecca said, part of the role is myself going to MARAC if anyone comes through from Stepping Hill. And if I'm trying to get into the habit, if any of the practitioners have completed the dash with the victim, if they come to MARAC with me, so they get to know the process, they get to understand the work that we do with them, and they get to understand how we all work as we triage these victims.
Hi, my name is Janet Willock. I'm one of the specialist nurses from the Vulnerable Children's Team. We're the safeguarding team in the community. We've got our acute hospital team over in the treehouse. So I attend the MARAC meetings along with Lily and been delivering training along with Rebecca and working quite closely on the domestic abuse project. So in relation to our forward planning, we're planning for Lily to have some increased visibility in the acute and the community. So this will include the ED department, as already discussed. So we want to increase that staff knowledge and confidence, as already said. We want to provide that staff, you know, with that confidence to identify domestic abuse and where ED, there's perhaps not a victim, a survivor attends ED with an assault. It's perhaps more a little bit more visible, but those subtle indicators of maybe that's domestic abuse occurring, we want the staff to have confidence with that. We also want to extend that visibility to our Treehouse Community Children's Ward, the acute wards within the hospital, working with our adult safeguarding team, and also our community staff, our health visiting community staff, our public health nurses, our school nurses, and our family nurse partnership. We've got some really experienced staff within our community and acute teams, but we know domestic abuse risk is dynamic, it's changing, and staff want that support and that confidence and those skills to manage and support those victims and survivors and perpetrators that they may be working with. So, as you know, Lily has been co-delivering the domestic abuse, stalking and harassment risk identification checklist training. So that's a standardised tool to help practitioners identify high-risk domestic abuse. So thank you, Lily, for that. And also that safety planning with Tony Johnston from the NCD, the National Centre for Domestic Violence. You've already heard that's a free service for survivors of domestic abuse where injunctions can be provided usually within 24 hours. A lot of our staff won't know about that service, so we're trying to increase that knowledge so they've got an additional support and resource there. So far, Lily and Tony delivered 2 3-hour sessions, training sessions at the acute hospital for ED and our acute staff. And there are further 6 training dates planned this month and going into April. So that's been offered to health physicians, public health nurses, our school nurses and some wider acute staff. So Lily and myself have also been doing some planning for a learning circle along with Judith Berry, our health visitor team lead and service lead. And that's looking at initially just some learning circles for health visiting staff in the first instance. And that's to feedback the domestic health survey audit that I undertook. And also to look at health practitioner response to domestic abuse to increase that knowledge skills and to share good practice as well. So we're really looking forward to that. And Lily's just going to update on the peer support consideration.
So one thing that myself and the young parents midwife have been sitting talking about is trying to facilitate a peer support group for young parents and young victims, and to incorporate that with Bianca's role, and just to offer a bit more support from a health and from a safeguarding perspective. So we're still trying to work out the kinks, whether it would go as a coffee morning sort of setting, but we're hoping to run that just as that little bit of extra support and to have that there if people do want to make a disclosure, if people do want support, whether it is through case holding or if it is through safety planning. So it's just something that we're hoping to get in the works as soon as we can. So with every role, there comes limitations. As it has been mentioned, there's only one of me. And Steppin Hill is a big place. So we have really focused on maternity and I feel like I've become quite embedded in the unit. So we're just trying to reach out as much as we can. And again, just break down that wall, that fear about working with someone that is in my role. But obviously that does come with issues with funding because you can only fund as much as you can. And I'm very grateful that my role can be funded and that we have the capability to have roles like myself and Bianca and the IDFA service that can run out of hours. Obviously we most disclosures happen on the weekend, Friday night when we've all gone home. So what I've been working on is trying to give that support for staff to know what to do just in those acute moments when there's no one else to support. And obviously with myself and the safeguarding teams, when we do our ward rounds in the mornings and the evenings, giving as much advice as we can whilst we're there and using the domestic abuse helpline number, which is a saving grace really for this service. And the final one for part of to try and increase my visibility is to get some posters up around Steppin Hill just to advertise my role, advertise the support that I can offer, and also the domestic abuse helpline number. So we're trying to get the tear away posters and just to advertise that service that's out there, just because more people are happy to engage with it if they can just take something small and something covert that won't put them more at risk, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give people the support, but try and keep them as safe as we possibly can. Thank you.
If you or anyone else you know is suffering from domestic abuse, please call the National Domestic Abuse Helpline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 0808 2000 247. That's 0808 2000 247. For more information about what's been discussed in this episode, please visit safeguardingchildreninstockport.org.uk. Further links are available in this episode's show notes. You can also join the conversation on social media. Both Twitter and Facebook are /StockportMBC. This podcast is produced by me, Vic Elizabeth Turnbull, and is a Mike Media production.